Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints and the teachings of the church and the magisterium in order to help us to navigate the tumult of this crazy, difficult, challenging life. And but marriage is easy.
Marriage is a piece of cake.
Such a lie. Such a lie.
Marriage is the groundwork of where you became a saint.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. It's relationships, right? It's even true in convents. St. John of the Cross talks about, or monasteries, talks about how we're not in the monastery to skip around in joy and toss rose petals and, you know, levitate and stuff. We're in the monastery to be chiseled, to be formed into Christ, and to have everything that is not of him to be chiseled away. And that chiseling, that imagery is striking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it includes striking. It's can be harsh and it can be painful and all of that. And so marriage is very similar. I don't know, you know, the deepest kinds of wounds that can come in a monastery, because I've lived in seminary, I've been to seminary, but I've never experienced that life, you know, on a day-to-day basis for any extensive period. But marriage, certainly I have. And because of vulnerability in particular and desire for oneness and love, the wounds can be deeper, I think, than in any other kind of relationship.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the other thing of, you know, dreams and expectations and coming in with no real sense of like, what is this really going to look like?
What's realistic?
Yeah, I think very few people ever really get very well prepared for what it means to go into marriage. And I think I would say that more than vulnerability, it's the crucifixion of marriage. It's the dying to yourself time and time again for the sake of another, mm-hmm. and for the sake of a greater purpose. And, you know, you were talking about the monastery, and in some sense, as you go through the monastery, as you're aligning your life with others, you're still, you know, like your body and just, you can kind of withdraw into yourself and kind of be like, take care of that. There's some self-protection in that. But as you were saying, the vulnerability of the relationship, the physical oneness, the day-to-day grind, really, you're no longer your own at all.
In a monastery.
No, in a marriage.
You know, I did that on purpose because I knew you would say that. It's right. But we don't think that way. A lot of times, you know, I remember overhearing a Protestant, two Protestant women in a little Protestant coffee shop in where I used to live, and overheard them talking about how, you know, they, their husband, they're in a second marriage, and they're not going to let their new husband determine how the kids are raised, you know. And I was just thinking, you know, it's just this bizarre. Anyway, I want to make sure we get on the right path,
okay,
relative to the subject and the show. Spiritual breakthroughs in marriage, in marital intimacy. And a lot of people don't connect the spiritual life with marital intimacy and healthy intimacy. And we're not talking about sexual, though it can include that. We're talking about unity and oneness.
That's an outgrowth of it, I believe. The healthy sexual intimacy is an outgrowth.
It's a consequence.
It's a consequence of the healthy spiritual intimacy, and in a profound way.
Yeah.
So as people go, we tend to get things out of order. We want to fix the sexual piece or fix the communication piece, mm-hmm. or fix whatever it is, the financial piece or whatever it is. Right?
We think that's the root. Yeah. The root issues are
it's
there.
It's like, help me, you know, this wife you gave me and this husband you gave me, they need to be fixed or whatever. And really, if we can get the spiritual piece right, everything else starts to fall into place beautifully.
If you were to say what's the number one determinant or spiritual practice that a man or woman can undertake that would change their marriage, what would it be? Assuming sound sacramental foundations.
That's what I was going to say. Assuming sacramental, healthy foundation. And that means, you know, regular confession, regular mm-hmm. sacraments. Mm-hmm. I would say mental prayer yeah. is a game changer.
Yeah.
I would couple that with the examine.
Sure.
Because I really think as you grow in oneness with the Lord in mental prayer, you come to know who God is, to know yourself better mm-hmm. in relation to God. And then as you apply that in the examine and that starts to live out and you're looking at yourself, this is what God's calling me to. How is that playing out in my day-to-day with my spouse? Mm-hmm. Am I living that vocation that the Lord's called me to? Am I living as another Christ in my marriage? Am I self-sacrificing? Do I serve my spouse as an act of worship to the Lord and out of obedience to the Lord first? Then if that's happening, God be praised, then intimacy will start to happen. But I think if we're not, then we really need to say, okay, like what exactly am I doing here? You know, I love this image that we use in our teaching sometimes, and I've used it in some of my women's retreats.
And your teaching, you mean divine intimacy and marriage retreat?
Or women's retreats, or, you know, I've done a number of different ones, and I've used it for individuals, but then it's applicable to marriage. Is this idea that as we pray, this is an interesting thing. As we pray, then we love that way. You know, if it's, and I don't know exactly
the way
where
we
I'm
pray
going.
Is the way we love, you mean?
Yeah, that's kind of like what's coming up in me as we pray is how we love.
Well, so let's go to 1 John, the epistles of John in particular. If you could summarize them, it's as we are with God, so we are with men.
Right, right.
And so if there's intimacy with God,
we're going to have intimacy with our spouse.
If there's holiness and love with God, we're going to have those things with our spouse.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I started to go a different direction and it went there and I was like, wow, you know, I hadn't really ever expressed it that way, but that is absolutely true. And the graphic that I was talking about was this idea of a ladder. So as we pray, then we have prayer and sacraments, we should be growing in virtue,
right?
Which would speak to, as I am with God, so I am with man. As I am with God, so I am with my husband.
Yes, right. And when you're trying to assess your symptoms, like where am I with God? Mm-hmm. And this is where people get really out of whack, especially pious people. They don't mean pious in any negative sense, but it's, you can have a self-perception of your own holiness, but the judge of that, and this is of course replete in the saints, Teresa right. of Avila says the highest measure of spiritual maturity is love. Catherine of Siena, God the Father through her, says patience is the most important measure to spiritual progress. So what we can tend to do as pious people or traditional people is we can think, well, I have all my spiritual life in order But we treat people poorly. We judge them. We condemn them. We have a critical spirit towards them. We're harsh to them. We're always preaching and trying to fix them. That actually indicates there's something wrong on the spiritual side.
Right.
That's yeah. not that. That is. This is. There's a. It's bad fruit. That means there's a tree there's that doesn't work over here.
Yeah. There's something that needs to be healed.
Yeah.
Repented of. Delivered from. You know. There's yeah. A sickness, there's something in us that isn't of the Lord. Because if I'm holding resentment, bitterness, and if all I can see is what's wrong with my spouse, and I spend all my time trying to fix that, then, you know, there won't be this remedy. It is a barrier to spiritual intimacy.
Well, the devil loves that approach.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say your spouse is legitimately, by any objective measure, not doing well spiritually, whatever the list you might want to give. They're not kind, they're impatient, they're self-centered, whatever. You know, to the degree that to the degree that you walk with Jesus, mm-hmm. you'll respond a particular way to that reality. But if you are not truly walking with him, you will be in some essence controlled by that reality. So then the enemy has your partner. Mm-hmm. Now he's got you because you're reacting to that.
Right.
So whatever the enemy wants to control you, all they got to do is flick your partner, manipulate your partner. He's got the handles, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that affects you. And then you go off and do your sinful behavior or whatever. Yeah. So the enemy controls both. The enemy loves to control both sides of the picket line. He loves to control both sides of a war. He loves to control both sides of a broken relationship.
Yeah.
And he can do it very easily if we're not aware of what's going on, even with pious and committed or dedicated Catholics.
Yeah, what's interesting is as you were talking about that, this image of a tar baby came up, you know, for me. And it's like the brokenness in our spouse. Mm-hmm. We get sucked into that. We start to try to fix it. We get absorbed by it. We get obsessed by it. We resent it, you know, all of those things. And to get disentangled from that is very difficult
right.
once we've gotten into that loop. And in essence, then we've gone into desolation along with our spouse mm-hmm. who is struggling.
Yeah.
So I think we can keep talking about this after the break.
Yeah. So we're talking about spiritual breakthroughs in marital intimacy and how we fall or put ourselves in a place where we won't see progress or we will see progress. When we get back from the break, we'll talk about.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose. And to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. And we're talking about breakthroughs in the interior or the spiritual life that can lead to breakthroughs in intimacy and wholeness in marriage. So we're talking about mental prayer as like the game changer.
Right.
But when we talk about mental prayer, why? It's important in case people don't know what it is. One, let's just say it's simple. It's meeting Jesus in prayer through the scriptures, mm-hmm. meeting Jesus in prayer through the scriptures, talking to Jesus, meditating on Jesus, which helps us to love him, to become like him.
Having a real intimate relationship with him.
Right. And it confronts us of our sins, makes us. So if this is a new concept to you, I wrote a book called Into the Deep. And then there's also a free film series at spiritualdirection.com/pray. So if you're wondering what we're talking about with mental prayer, it isn't sitting around musing randomly. It can be Eucharistic adoration, but in particular, we're talking about the kind of mental prayer where we're encountering the person and work of Jesus, and then appropriating that reality in our own
life. It's filling our heart and our mind with the Lord.
Right.
And then in that, if you couple it with the examine, it's like, where am I? Where is God? Where am I? Where is God?
Right.
And in doing that, we start to, through his grace, through the experience of his ever-growing presence in our heart and mind, our spirit. I like to say he's a jealous God, so he wants all of us. He's going to start to push out those things that are not of him, and he's going to start to fill us. And in that, we start to get a better sense of, where am I according to his virtues, according to what it means to be another Christ, you know, first as an individual, but then also in our marriage.
Right.
And, you know, there's this, if you think about a quadrant, you know, like a four-part quadrant, you know, you could write into one, you know, church, one internet, one work, and one at home. And if you're one person at church and a different one at home, or you're one person at church and you're a totally different person on the internet or whatever, and those are not the same person, then there's this lack of integration. There's this lack of virtue that's going on that needs to be looked at.
Well, before we jump in, so I'm going to go back to the examine and dive into that.
Okay.
But before that, you wanted to mention, because we're talking about marriage spirituality, we have two events coming up. Where are those? Called Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Our next one, and this would be for the year 2024.
Yeah.
So I want to make that clear. It's in Trinidad, Tobago, of all places.
Yeah.
And God bless Father Jesse Mango. He's invited us to go down and do a marriage retreat there. It is a smaller event because of the venue, and so there's not a lot of seats, so you want to take advantage of this. If you have an inkling to go.
It's only about 35 seats, right?
38, I think.
38 couples.
Okay. 38 couples.
Yeah.
But we like our events to be less than 50 because it is so high touch.
We like to get to know people.
Right. And so the dates are October 25th through the 27th of 2024. That's in Trinidad, Tobago. You don't want to miss that. And then the other one is in Bismarck, North Dakota, February 14th through the 16th of 2025.
Go ahead.
So this is just two of the upcoming ones. And I just want to mention that we have invitations all over the country and outside of the country to come do the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat. So if you keep up with us at spiritualdirection.com/events or you're on the email list or whatever, just keep track. And if you say, well, I really can't make it to Trini, but I can maybe wait and see what the next one is. Just keep up with this or invite us.
Yeah, I mean, you could be listening to the show in 3 years and the events will be keep going on. So spiritualdirection.com/event. So back to the examine. So we talked about mental prayer and the power of that. And the reason it affects us is because when we spend time with Jesus, we get to know ourselves better than we ever could. And we get to know God. And we start really working on us,
right,
instead of our partner. The second thing is with the examine, both of these, mental prayer and the examine, have the same effect in the end, but they have different means. They both wake us up to our true spiritual state,
right,
if they're authentic. So the examine excuse me, the examine is a daily practice of asking, you put it in simple terms, where am I, where is God? But let's talk about a little more practical way. So let's talk about the simple way we do it every night. And then maybe, I don't know how you do your more in-depth examine, like through your rule of life, but talk about how we do our examine every night.
Well, every night, you and I do something called the redemptive examine. So the first thing we do is we give our top three, is what we call them, top three gratitudes for the day. Yeah. And I share 25 and you share three.
Yeah, because I follow the rules.
Yeah. So, you know, Lord, I'm grateful for this and this and this and this and this. And I'm looking at my day, you know, from 30,000 feet, and I'm recognizing all the ways that the Lord was breaking through, blessings, gifts, even the difficulties I thank him for.
Yeah.
Thank you for that moment when, you know, like there came some humiliation without sin, and I'm grateful for that or whatever. So we do that first, and then we pause to think over our day,
silently.
To think silently between us and God, of where we fell short of the glory of God,
or even where we did well. You know, it's both,
right?
But it's primarily relationally focused.
Yeah.
Like, how did I treat you? How did I treat the teller at the bank, or my son, or a visitor at the retreat center, or whatever?
Right.
Right.
Right. It's how do we love God and how do we love others? Right. You know, the God part is maybe I didn't complete my prayers.
Sure.
My commitments, you know, maybe I didn't show up, whatever it is. And then the other is, relational, as you said. And then if we have something that we need to apologize to one another, I will turn to you and I will say, I am sorry for that moment when I was short or I disrespected you. Or I might ask you, did I respect you today? Did I love you?
And that's based on Ephesians 5.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And then you will do the same for me.
Yeah. Did I cherish you? Did I treat you with gentleness? That sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then we do a confiteor together. So that's how we do our redemptive examine together.
And usually we do that in the context of Compline or night prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a general examination. How do you do your specific examination against like your rule of life?
Well, that will usually be like in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
And it's, you know, I have commitments to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I check myself against those commitments. Yeah. Did I wake up at a certain time every day? Did I do my mental prayer? I pray auxilium every day. I pray primitive.
Auxilium Christian era. These are spiritual warfare prayers.
Yeah. So I check myself against those things. Did I pray my rosary? And there are specific things that I'm working at. This goes back to the virtue piece. This also would go back to those quadrants of understanding, am I the same person in all aspects of my life, or are there parts of my life where I've got a problem, you know, where there's a virtue deficit, where there's a vice that I need to work on?
Give an example.
You know, I think most of us can understand how we act at church, but maybe when I, you know, go to work, I'm harsh or impatient with people,
mm-hmm.
overly demanding, seeing them as people to be used rather than individual souls to be loved.
Can I give a little more personal example?
Sure.
So mine says, did I honor your voice? Was I gentle with you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, it's either a yes or no, or a not exactly where I wanted it to be, but it wasn't a hard no. So a yes is a positive because it's a cross. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
A partial is just a little slash that says, well, watch this, pay mm-hmm. attention. Don't let it keep going this way.
Right.
And then a minus is, no, you better pay attention and not do this again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or today, because I do mine in the morning too.
Right. To give a marital example, a personal one, you know, part of mine is to ensure that when you, that I am very attentive to your needs, and that I'm also very respectful of you, and that I am prudent. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to say everything all the time. Right. Sometimes it's just better to just be quiet, even if I don't agree.
Right.
And I just pray.
And that's a general rule, husband, wife, everybody, you know, social media teaches you, if you have a thought, you should say it. And that is a horrible,
a
sinful habit.
Yeah. Because you just don't know who put that thought in your head at that moment without discernment. You know, so we need to be prudent, especially with our spouses.
Well, you know, we've got to end. The bottom line is, if you are not practicing mental prayer, head out to spiritualdirection.com/pray. Mm-hmm. If you want help with your marriage, check out the marriage retreats. They're transformational. They're for people who are engaged, as well as those who've been married for a year, 5 years, 10. We had a couple
years
who are 80 years old who came twice to do, you know.
And they were beautiful.
Yeah, awesome. But
good marriages, struggling marriage, doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum.
Right. If it's good, it'll get better. If it's struggling, you know, a lot of marriage has been saved through it.
Right.
So.
And if you need help with the examine, another part, you know, and I know we need to go, but. Find community and run with them. If you need help on this formation, we have endless resources
free.
At apostoliva.org.
Yeah.
It's our community. Come be part of a community, part
worldwide.
Of this conversation
on
how to be holy, and find some saints and run with them, whatever they are, Franciscan, Dominicans, plenty of saints in AV that I just think are beautiful people. So anyway, we're praying for you. And with that, until next time, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.